Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. We have a very special guest with us today, and I've kind of mentioned before, and I think in our last episode, I mentioned that we might get and should be interviewing Trevor Lawton, which we did. And interviewing Trevor Lawton is always enjoyable. When you're talking to somebody that understands the communist movement as well as him, it's almost like being able to speak to W. Cleon Skousen. I mean, Skousen had a grasp of a lot of different things, but when it came to understanding the communist motives, the communist operandi, what they're doing, where they are, and so forth, I mean, Trevor Lawton is right there. He is probably the subject matter expert, as far as I know, the subject matter expert regarding communism in America today, because most people, what does that have to do? I mean, people do not see communism as a threat anymore. And as a matter of fact, we've become so complacent, this is unacceptable. If you, I remember reading David Horowitz's book that in the 50s, when he was growing up, he realized that almost every other house on his block where he lived in the suburbs of New York were communists, people that were truly believing that communism was the better way to go, getting the state to take over. So nothing better than to expose communism and its plans and having that discussion with Trevor Lawton, because what we're dealing with right now, friends, this coronavirus stay in place is an implementation of communism. This is statist government shutting you down, telling you you can't do anything unless they approve it. We'll be right back after this short message with Trevor Lawton talking about what the heck's going on. I know you'll enjoy it. We'll be right back. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's, and if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, folks, we have Trevor Lawton on the phone, and he is probably the best known for Enemies Within. He is a subject matter expert regarding the communism and its infiltration both in our government, and I believe you're working on some content regarding communism in Christianity.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, it's called Enemies Within the Church, and it's a follow-up to my 2016 movie Enemies Within,
okay,
which dealt with the infiltration of Congress. But this is even more horrifying, to be honest.
Oh, sure.
The Marxism in the churches is just rampant.
Yes, I'm fully aware of that. I realize that they have it's interesting how religion has really taken a back seat to government indoctrination, but they still play an integral role in keeping the people in check. It's like one extra layer of either pylons or, you know, guardrails just to keep people from going off course.
Well, you know, the original communist infiltration of the American churches started happening in the 20s. And that was designed to introduce socialism into the churches, and it worked very, very well. And in fact, a lot of the mainstream churches, they used to joke, would be called the Communist Party at Prayer. But then you had the evangelicals broke away and tried to, you know, be true Bible-believing churches and traditional Orthodox churches. And they would keep doing stupid, crazy things like voting for people like Ronald Reagan and Donald Trump. Now, if you think that upset the left, yes, it did. So they started a major campaign about 10 years ago, or probably, and really amped up since Trump got elected, to A, neutralize the evangelical churches, neutralize them, turn them socialist. And if they couldn't turn them socialist, neutralize them. And they've done that very, very well. A lot of the young pastors now who once would have voted for Ronald Reagan and supported Israel are now supporting the likes of Bernie Sanders and Palestine. Hmm. So you've got a real left-wing drift.
Yeah.
And a real this is going to have a huge impact on American politics if this is not corrected. You know, it's a spiritual problem, it's a cultural problem, and it's a political problem. It will affect us in all of those ways, and it's one of the most pressing dangers we have right now.
Well, you could definitely see the lesser of the two evils in the 2012 election with Romney and Obama. The evangelicals were either willfully or they just decided not to vote, because there's good documentation that shows that a lot of them did not show up at the polls, or those that showed up at the polls refused to vote for the Mormon instead of the hybrid Muslim.
Well, the Marxist, there was a choice between a Mormon and a Marxist Muslim revolutionary who hated America and wanted to bring it to its knees.
Right.
So the good evangelicals in that election, many of them either didn't vote or refused to vote for the Mormon guy. And I'm not particularly sad that Mitt Romney didn't get it, because he's proven to be not a very good guy since.
Yes.
But, you know, that was not the choice at the time. That was a choice between the Constitution and communism. And because of ignorance or apathy, large numbers of American evangelicals didn't participate, and we got four more years of Obama because of it.
Right.
A gutting of the U.S. military, a wrecking of the economy, and setting up for the destruction of Christianity. So elections have consequences.
Yes,
and irresponsibility has major consequences.
Yes, they do. So you've got a new book out. Why don't you give me some background and my audience, if you want to tell us the end, or if you want to just kind of tell us what your focus is and so forth.
Well, I'll tell you the focus. It's called White House Reds.
Okay.
Communists, socialists, and security risks running for U.S. Congress, U.S. President 2020. Now, we all know that Bernie Sanders was a communist, and he is a communist. He's not a democratic socialist. He is a full-on Marxist revolutionary communist in the same stripe of Fidel Castro, Hugo Chavez, or whatever. He just lies. He lies about what he is. Honest Bernie, that's a joke. But people think now, well, it's all right now because the Democrats united – and they got rid of the crazy communist because they didn't want to be tagged with that, and they didn't support his communist radicalism. Well, what my book does is profile 10 of the leading Democrat contenders, 10 of the candidates who were still in the race as of January the 1st, at the beginning of this year. Now, all of them have now dropped out except Biden. But I want people to read the book, because what it does is show that every one of those 10, including Biden, is as bad as Bernie Sanders. They are all Marxists, every single one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And You know, that includes A.B. Klobuchar, who's been lined up to be Biden's VP. That includes little Pete Buttigieg. That includes Cory Booker. That includes Julian Castro. That includes Tulsi Gabbard, a favorite of many libertarians and conservatives. That includes, obviously, Bernie, obviously, Elizabeth Warren, but they are and Tom Steyer. All of them were Marxists.
Mm-hmm.
So they're still in the U.S. Senate.
Right.
They still represent certain strands of the Democratic Party. What my book is there to do is this, to explain that what happened with Bernie and Biden wasn't the moderates kicking out the communist. It was the radical communist who was too stupid to keep his mouth shut, talking about how he admired Cuba, etc., versus the moderate communists who are a little bit smarter about keeping their mouths shut.
Right.
Doesn't matter who was going to get it. It was going to be a Marxist communist. And I can give you chapter and verse on Joe Biden and his communist connections, Amy Klobuchar, Pete Buttigieg, Julian Castro. But we really need to understand Biden, because too many Americans, for some unknown reason, think he's a moderate. Obama said the other day, he said, Biden will be standing on the most progressive platform ever by a U.S. presidential candidate. Biden said the same thing. I am the most progressive candidate in the race. Joe Biden has worked in the interests of Moscow and other enemies of the United States since at least 1972. The guy is the most dangerous candidate running. He is a complete and utter traitor to this country, and he needs to be exposed. But he's the moderate. He's the old-fashioned blue-collar Democrat, like Elias GR. That's just not true at all.
That's so. Let me ask you this. We'll clean these things up. But let me ask you this: as I look at what has just happened with the coronavirus, the deployment of it from China effectively throughout the world, what we have actually seen is the implementation of communism here in America without a Bolshevik revolution.
Yeah, we have seen that the curtailment of our civil liberties, lockdowns, shutdowns, unconstitutional state orders, you name it, all in the name of fighting
right.
the flu.
Right.
You know? And, that's very dangerous. It's setting a huge precedent. And we've got to resist that. So I'm supporting anybody who's going to get out there to open up the economy. You know, what should have happened was really simple. This is the flu. It's going to kill 50, 60,000 Americans, right? About what the flu kills every year.
Right.
And I don't want any of those people to die. I have a lot of friends in the age group that's very susceptible. But we don't shut down the economy every time there's a flu. So this is the real scenario here. Now, whether the Chinese released it deliberately or accidentally, I don't know. It was almost certainly an engineered virus. But they had just had a caning on trade. They just had the Taiwanese elections go the wrong way. The anti-communists won in a landslide. And they just had the troubles in Hong Kong. Now, I would think they'd be thinking, can we stand 4 more years of this crazy Trump guy? Can we handle this? Is our country going to melt down? What's this crazy guy going to do? We better do something. Okay, but whether they did it or not deliberately, that virus came out. They kept it under wraps for several days. They had a big festival New Year's festival in Wuhan, which was visited by thousands of Chinese from all over the world. The locals said, should we shut this down? The Communist Party of China said, no, keep it going. So all these Chinese people came there, got infected, and went back to Canada, Australia, Britain, United States, wherever they went. So the Chinese have used this. But the big thing they've used is the propaganda war. A few days ago, the Chinese Communist Party Central Committee released a letter signed by 230 worldwide communist parties, including Communist Party USA, which is a lot stronger than most of the listeners will realize, I think. But anyway, the thrust of the letter was this. This is the message. First, it's not China's fault. Second, China's leading the world and saving the world from this dangerous disease. We should all be grateful to China. Third, socialized healthcare is the only way to go to deal with this. Fourth, it's all America and Trump's fault. Blame America, blame Trump. He's spreading the disease. He's not taking action, blah, 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 blah. Hit Trump. So you've got 230 communist parties from all over the world zoomed in on defending China and attacking Trump. But what we need to understand is the media in this country and the Democratic Party follow the Chinese Communist Party talking points. Those are the talking points we are hearing all the time. But what the big thing is this, what is the reason? Well, A, they want to defend China. But B, they want to destroy the U.S. economy. Completely destroy it. The longer this shutdown goes on, the better for the Chinese. It does three things. A, it guts our business, so China with their huge gold reserves can come in and buy up our assets like they've just done to Italy. Second, it makes it very hard for Trump to get reelected, which they are working hard to do. And third, and this is the run that nobody's talking about, Obama gutted the U.S. military. He absolutely gutted it to the point it was as weakest it had been for 15 years by the time he left office. In some ways, it was weaker than in World War II. Trump has, to his great credit, tried to rebuild the U.S. military as quickly as he could. But he can only do that off the back of a strong economy. If the economy is in recession, let alone major depression, how do you think he's going to rebuild the U.S. military? The fact is he's not. And the Chinese are preparing for war right now. So are their Russian friends. They are amping up war production, amping up war preparation right now, and the U.S. military is heading into the tank. If we don't get the economy rolling again real quick, this isn't just a depression we're thinking about. This is World War III, which we're going to lose. That's why the Chinese are doing this.
Yeah, so
they are completely pushing this narrative. The Russians are sowing disinformation all around the world, exaggerating the effects of the disease, talking about fake cures, just sowing confusion, panic, and terror. This is a destabilization phase before the big push. We're in a very dangerous situation right now.
Right. And so the way I see this is that Russia, China, and most of the world that is either socialist or communist, because that's most of the world, and even the Islamic states, the people of these nations, of these other nations, are basically employees of the state.
Yep.
And so what is happening here is we're being shifted from a private sector into becoming employees of the state, whether that be by unemployment and doing nothing, or what I see is that the if you remember what FDR did, FDR tried to kickstart the economy. And as a matter of fact, Reagan did something very similar. Reagan spent his money on military, in building the military machine, which kind of held off actually turned around the downturn from Carter. But the after effects of that, when everything started shifting away from the military buying and growing because of the Cold War and Reagan's resolve in burying the Russians. But what ended up happening is we did hit a recession during Bush's era, and he raised taxes and so forth. And so what I see is Trump is going to do the exact same thing. He's going to end up using federal dollars and federal employment, and we're going to see a shift in America that will have the highest population that are public sector employees than ever.
Look, that could happen. I'm not entirely convinced it will. It may happen. It's happening now for sure.
They're definitely pumping trillions in.
Trump is shifting to a war economy.
Uh-huh.
But whether I don't know. I don't know about that. That may be the case. But the reaction to this, see, Trump was driven into a corner by the media. The proper reaction to this disease is like what happened in Sweden, Taiwan. You do a lot of testing, you protect the vulnerable, put the money towards the vulnerable, and then you just let everybody get to keep it work. There should have been no shutdown. None at all.
Well, I completely agree.
Look, all the money we've lost, all the trillions of dollars, billions of dollars we've lost in revenue and lost production, 5% of that could have put every 80-year-old person or over in this country in a protective cocoon with 24-hour attendance.
Right.
You know, wouldn't that have been a more intelligent way to do things?
Well, yeah, I'm not sure if you read the articles that I sent you regarding martial law in the 21st century or what's the real problem and so forth. But I do know that.
Yes, I have.
Okay, great. I know this, that Trump has already got a bill, and I think it's already passed by Congress, a couple trillion dollar bill in rebuilding and umping up our boosting our economy and infrastructure by, you know, creating this nationwide infrastructure rebuild. In addition, we're going to see this huge deployment of 5G. And as you probably know, SpaceX is actually, you know, getting closer to getting more and more of their satellites up so that they can create their Internet of Things or the final implementation of Big Brother.
Well, it depends who, like the technology is there, but it doesn't necessarily always mean it's going to be used, you know, like if this was all being done on a Democratic administration, I'd be a lot more worried about it than it was done under Trump, because I think he is there basically to preserve the sovereignty of the nation. But when you have technologies like this available and you don't have, constitutional safeguards, or they've been largely abandoned, you will find that being used, you know, to bad purposes by some leader down the road.
That's, oh, absolutely.
That's guaranteed.
Right. And what we're going to find is that the next despot that comes in is going to exploit this technology. And as a matter of fact, the tech companies such as Google, Apple, Amazon, and the rest of these tech companies who have been working artificial intelligence and is supporting the Big Brother implementation in China, they're wanting to see that happen worldwide.
Yeah, look, absolutely. And the Chinese are driving this. Well, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens in the next few weeks. I think the biggest risk we face in the next few weeks is a shooting war with China. And you won't be seeing Huawei set up big networks around the world if that happens. So I'm not wishing that will happen, but I think there's going to be a major pushback against China, against globalism in general, after this election. And I see a more of a push towards the nation state rather than the international and globalism that we've seen in the past. At least that's what I'm hoping will happen.
Right.
And I certainly acknowledge the dangers of the infrastructure that's being put in place. But we may see some big moves in the opposite direction after this, after the dust has settled out of this. That will be the big test for Trump and some other Western governments like Boris Johnson. Do they stand independent? Do they reassert their own sovereignty and start getting out of international trade entanglements? Or is this going to be a blip in the road, then business back to normal? Now, Trump has shown that he's not business as normal all the time. He's done things that I don't agree with, but he's also done a lot of things that I think are in the right direction. So this Chinese situation, I think, is going to be a defining moment, and we're going to see which way this country goes in a very few weeks' time, I think.
Okay, so let me float this by you, because I've floated this by a few different people, and you probably haven't heard this, but the Constitution in Article 4, Section 3, allows states to petition and basically get on the path of becoming a state in the union. A state right. such as Taiwan, a state such as Hong Kong. If Trump actually put it out and went to Hong Kong and Taiwan and said, why don't you guys just have a democratic election to see if you want to become a state in our union and put yourselves on the path? I mean, it's not like you're going to become a state tomorrow, but by becoming a territory of the United States, it would put China on their heels because now China has a whole new threat.
Yeah, I think that would we would get World War III if we did that. And I think it would be a very or we get a major Chinese back down. But I don't think the Chinese can do any more back downs. I think they're already in a corner now.
They are.
Yeah. Look, I think we should absolutely commit ourselves to Taiwan. Hong Kong's a little bit more problematic because it is so heavily infiltrated by Chinese agents. And I don't know if we want a few hundred thousand of them running around America. We've already got enough. But Taiwan, I would love Trump to come out and offer a very strong bridge to Taiwan, like basically place Taiwan on a similar relationship as the American-Israel relationship.
Well, so and the path to statehood is a very it's a migration and a very slow path before. Before they become a full-fledged territory, they have to start putting things in motion of changing their legal system, their monetary system, and those types of things. And so it's not like it's going to happen in a year or two. I mean, look at Puerto Rico. But here's the thing. Trevor, let me ask you this. Do you think we're better off going to war with China now or letting China finish a little bit more of their projecting a force fleet? Because the longer this takes, the more China is going to be able to project its forces. And as you understand, projecting forces is really how you win a war.
Yeah, look, I don't ever want to go to war with China. But if we're going to do it, it's probably better now than in a year's time or 2 years' time.
I agree.
You know, we're building up. They are building all the time. We're probably it's difficult because of the condition we're in right now. But look, this is how I think we should deal with China. And short of war, and the very first thing I would do, I would offer a 3-month amnesty to every Chinese agent working in this country. And you would say to them, right, you've got 3 months. Either leave the country or turn yourself in, expose all of your networks, and go into witness protection. At the end of 3 months, you'll be prosecuted and you'll get the fullest sentence that is available. That would throw the Chinese networks into this country in complete chaos because every spy master and all the politicians like Dianne Feinstein who work with them, that would throw them into complete chaos and put the Chinese on the back foot because they wouldn't know who's turned, who's flipped. This is how they got the mafia, basically. You do that, then you repatriate every American company from China, and you say any country around the world who deals with China doesn't deal with us.
Right.
End of story.
Yeah, absolutely. Going back to our relationship with China prior to Nixon putting them on the most favored nation status and so forth, right?
Yep. Yeah, look, it should be a complete disengagement. China should be treated like Cuba was up till recently.
Right.
It should be a complete pariah state, and you make the world choose. You're with China or you're with us because you can't do both. And that would basically destroy the Chinese Communist Party. They would have a revolution in their own country, and they would fight it out there, but Americans wouldn't have to be involved in it. So, yes, if we have to go to war, sooner better than later, probably.
Yeah.
But if we can avoid it, we should, and I think we should avoid it by eliminating the massive Chinese penetration of this country overnight, and it could be done very simply with just a couple of executive orders. That, you know, we can't go to war with China with 25,000 Chinese spies working on our territory and a whole bunch of our congressmen and senators in their pockets.
Right.
Now, we can't risk that.
Unless
we're going to start arresting all those people the day that war breaks out.
Yeah, no, so what I'd like to see is a full spectrum push on this whole issue. like you said, basically going after the local networks and spies, actually going out to their well, I'll call them satellite states that they are either in bed with, or they're trying to manipulate them and pressure them into basically subjugating themselves to China, like Taiwan. Nepal would be another one. But I mean, going around the all of these little satellite states that they have and basically say, hey, look, you know, there you guys can have a path out of, you know, this direction that you're being sucked into. And I would just say, if it was a full spectrum approach, I think China, their head would be spinning, because they wouldn't be able to address all of those types of things.
No, I think that's right. A whole of state approach with all of those components. You know, you go to these little microstates and say, leave China, come with us, we will give you military protection.
We will
stand by you. You know, you treat them like Israel. You got to draw a line in the world. Now, you draw a line and you stand strong, a lot of countries like Canada and that will come with us, not with China like they're doing now.
Right.
So that's the way to – it's the only way to do it. You know, Reagan was tough. Mm-hmm. He was tough on the Soviet Union. If he hadn't been tough on the Soviet Union would still be here today. Well, actually, the Soviet Union and China probably would have beaten us by now. So, you know, Reagan didn't defeat communism. He didn't even defeat communism in Russia, but he forced them into a major strategic retreat. And Bush, to his stupidity, didn't keep the boot on. He opened up and basically gave them a lifeline, you know, kept them alive. And now they've rebuilt their military. They're way stronger than us in many ways. And see, this is what people got to realize. We go to war with China tomorrow, it'll be China and Russia and Iran and Cuba and Venezuela and a whole bunch of other countries, possibly India as well.
North Korea.
North Korea, obviously. So it won't be just China. No, get that right off your, out of your head right now. China is allied in the Shanghai Cooperation Organization with Russia. It's a political, economic, military alliance with Russia, Uzbekistan, Iran, Sri Lanka, India, Afghanistan, Belarus, you know, a whole bunch of countries. Then you've got South Africa in the mix. You don't know which way they'll go. They're a Chinese client state, so is most of Africa. And several states in Latin America will probably pile on as well. So we got to make a stand real soon, because if we don't confront China now, we are going to lose. Yes. And it's either war or it's taking a hard whole-of-state approach, getting rid of their spies, you know, breaking up their alliances, isolating them economically. We do that, we may destroy them without a war. If we don't do that, war's the only option, and we may well lose.
Right. And so over here in the other corner is the globalist network, which is basically the UN, World Health Organization, or entities that are designed to undermine and actually pull the world into global communism. And so going down this path of this full spectrum approach, and actually not only just going to the Chinese states, but actually going to these other states that are in this array of, you know, like Estonia. There's plenty of other countries out there that, you know, if they actually had the epiphany of going, you know what, we've got this problem right here over our shoulder with Russia, with China, and so forth, that we could actually obsolete the UN in a very short period of time, defund them, get rid of them, and actually utilize, because I've pointed this out to people, the very first globalist document ever written was the United States Constitution. But it wasn't a globalist of subjugation and statist control. It was a path forward of individual liberty, individual sovereignty, and sovereign states, where all other, the League of Nations and the United Nations are fronts to help move and pull everybody into a centralized communist state.
Now, wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great if Trump said, like, he's already defunding WHO, he's pulled America out of two UN subsidiary organizations. Wouldn't it be great if he said at the end of this, right, we're leaving the UN, we're going to set up World Freedom Federation. We want to invite our allies to form a federation with us. It'll be military, it'll be political, it'll be economic. You'll be sovereign states, but you'll be militarily allied to us, and you'll have favored trade relations with us. Any country not in that federation can basically take a hike. So we will draw a line in the world. This is the good guys. Who do you want to align with? You want to align with the good guys or the bad guys? That would be a very interesting scenario. And that's what we eventually have to do, I think. And the sooner the better.
Right. So let me come back around, because you said you read those articles. Did the one article on what is the problem? What is the real problem? Did you ever realize the importance of the militia until you read that?
Well, I knew that the militia was important because it's the safeguard of the states. It's basically safeguarding the states against the federal government.
Right.
You know, like the 10th Amendment means nothing without militias.
But the fact of the matter is we now live in a state where the Constitution isn't even operating the way it's supposed to, because only the militia has the constitutional authority to enforce and execute the laws of the unions, not these federal bureaucracies.
Exactly. So, you know, wouldn't that be great? You know, the United States was supposed to be a federal alliance of independent states.
Yep.
And the only thing they did in unison was really foreign policy and treaties and things like that, and a federal navy or whatever when needed in time of war. And that's how it should be governed today. And that's how I propose an international alliance should work. You know, you're independent states, but you're allied to America, and we will look after you if you look after us. But yeah, like, and I understand your point. You know, it's very hard for us to defend freedom around the world and promote this around the world if we're not living by the rules of the Constitution internally. So there's that battle to be fought as well. And a lot of those rules are going out the window right now in the face of this crisis. You know, a lot of governors are acting against the Constitution, and the federal government is basically acting in a way that it doesn't really have the right to do in many instances.
Well, so one of the other things I wanted to talk to you about is, beyond this coronavirus and moving forward, I'm not sure, because there was going to be a Red Pill Expo, right? That was supposed to happen last month?
Yeah. No, I thought it was going to happen in June.
Oh, okay.
Up in South Carolina. Well, there may be two or three of them, but the one I was invited to was in June in South Carolina.
Okay.
So I've heard nothing more about that since.
Right. And so you – oh, good. Then you were invited to that, because I was hoping that I might have an opportunity to make it out there, but it seems like with everything else happening and with that being in South Carolina, most of my focus.
No, sorry, Georgia. It was in Georgia, not South Carolina.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to be on Jekyll Island.
That's right. That's right. He did mention that.
A very deliberately chosen site, I would say.
Yeah, it was a kind of home for him, but. At that point in time in the year, because this is an election year, I've been working with all of the state legislators that I know and trying to get them to honcho the efforts in going out to every single state public servant and getting them to make a formal statement as to whether they believe what's going on is right, whether they believe it's wrong, and trying to ensure that we can differentiate those who recognize the violations of the Constitution and those public servants or candidates in this race, because this is how we can get rid of the rhinos. This is how we can actually get people to stand up for a very specific position, and if they don't, then they don't deserve to get reelected. And so Montana, South Dakota, Wyoming, and Idaho, I was hoping to get into Oklahoma and Utah as well, before their elections, to get some state legislator or a small, what do you want to call a coalition or a group of leaders to lead and actually say, we have to recognize that this is the shot across the bow. They are going to take our liberties, and the next time it will be over something different, and we will not see the light at the end of the tunnel because our liberties will be gone.
Yeah, I like, you know, can you do that between now and the election? I don't know. It's a tough ask, you know. If you can do it, great.
How long does it take for somebody to make a statement, for somebody to sit down and articulate, you know, that I recognize this is a violation of our constitutional rights, and all of these states, all of these politicians that are seizing and taking away our liberties has violated the Constitution. There, I'm done.
Well, it's a matter to sign it's no problem at all. It's a matter of convincing someone to sign it and finding enough people with the courage to sign it. Well, but you should be starting the search. But I think, you know, is that something better left till after the election, or is it something? Because to me, the number one priority right now is winning the election.
Right. And
if we don't do that, everything else becomes moot.
Now, so you're talking about the national election, but I believe that the local election, because if you understand, the national election is done. In other words, the primaries for the presidential election have pretty much wrapped up.
Okay, so you're talking about state legislature.
The state primaries for absolutely. Okay. This is how we get rid of the rhinos, those people that want to basically kowtow and say, I think the government needs to, you know, seize these types of powers and controls when, you know, something terrible like this. Let these people get exposed, and that way the challengers can stand up, because there's no doubt in my mind, the majority of the people in South Dakota, Wyoming, and these red states, if they heard the true position of these rhinos and these other challengers of these, you know, constitutional servants, I honestly think it'd help us differentiate and clean up some of these state houses.
Yeah, well, that line has to be drawn, and if you can do that, that's for sure, that's productive, because, you know, our biggest problem with the GOP is that half of them are Democrats, you know, or worse, and they don't understand the Constitution, they don't care about the Constitution, they don't understand states' rights, they don't care about states' rights, they're in it for a business networking opportunity or to increase their own political mana.
That's right.
Their own egos. So, yes, we have to win on a national level because we have an executive that's actually on our side for once, at least mostly on our side. And we have to, in the long term, we have to clean up the states and restore the balance between the states that was existing straight after the Constitution was signed. And the states were sovereign. And the states decided most things internally, and very few powers, delineated, marked out powers, were designated to the federal government. Well, that's not even a concept in most people's heads right now. Not the general public. It's very much understood by our movement, and a lot of and much better understood by our movement than it was, say, 10 years ago. But yeah, you're right. That is a very important step and has to be done as well, because if we're going to survive on an international level, we have to be reforming internally to get our house in order to withstand the storms that are coming. And right now, those storms and the state we're in would probably overwhelm us.
So one last thing I want to cover, because we got about 5 minutes left, and the topic is Trump cleaning house and cleaning up the deep state. I hear all of these Q followers, all of these people that are, oh, Trump's, you know, two steps ahead of them, but just wait, you're going to see, this is going to come out, and all of these people are going to be doing perp walks. And I've been hearing this for 4 years. And so what is your view of Trump in tackling the deep state, going after these sealed indictments that we hear about and so forth? Your view?
Look, I think it's bogus. I think Trump is smart. He's got good instincts. but I think he's basically one step ahead of them, but that's about it.
Okay.
You know, he's hanging on. He's got people around him he can't trust. He's got better people around him now. Look, if you look at QAnon, and I know a lot of people are very big supporters of it and think it's all straight, but one of the big messages that you get from QAnon is that Russia is our friend. Russia is with us on this. You know, Trump's tackling the deep state, and you know, and Russia, Putin's against the deep state too. He's against the world order. So he's our friend, which is absolute garbage. You know, the deep state is Russian. The deep state is controlled by Putin. You know, Diana West, in her great book, The Red Thread, she looks at the communist backgrounds of several of the players in the Trump-Russiagate scandals. You know, Comey, Nellie Orr, Jim, you know, Brennan, they've all got communist backgrounds. Read the book. That's what the deep state is. The deep state's communist. It answers to Russia. It's loyal to Russia. It's not, you know, Putin's not our friend. So whenever I hear, and I've studied some of the QAnon stuff, whenever I hear this from QAnon, yeah, Russia's with us on this. Yeah, yeah, you know, Putin's, you know, our friend, blah, blah, blah. To me, this is Russian disinformation. This is out there to sow confusion in our ranks and give people a lot of false hopes. People are going, oh, I don't have to get involved in the election. I don't have to walk precincts. I don't have to sign people up to vote. Trump's got it. He's got it. Don't worry about it. It's all there. No, he hasn't got it. He's on our side. He's fighting tooth and nail. He's doing a lot of right stuff. He makes occasional mistakes. But I don't believe he's playing four-dimensional chess at all. Right. I think he has a good understanding of the problem, not nearly enough, and I really don't think he understands that what he is facing is a communist revolution.
Right.
He doesn't understand the deep Soviet communist ties to all of this, the Chinese interference in the economy, the Chinese interference in our electoral politics. I think he's got a... You know, he's a businessman. He puts his attention where he needs to put it. And he's got great instincts, and he's got a few good advisors around him. But what we've got in this country is we have got Trump, a few people in the GOP, and the grassroots. We do not have a secret cabal of good guys in there rounding up 68,000 traitors and putting them on Guantanamo. I wish we had that, but we don't. And it's a false hope to think we do. You know, QAnon has been promising mass arrests for about 4 years now.
Right.
You know, this is getting like the people who, you know, the Nigerian email scammers who were around years ago. You know, people think, oh, Prince Ugawaga in Nigeria is going to send me $64 million. All I have to do is give my bank account details and the money doesn't arrive, but it's going to arrive next week. I'll just borrow some money from the bank, and then it will arrive next week. And they go to prison thinking the money's going to arrive.
So last thing, because we're literally out of time, how do people get a copy of your book? And is there availability of a signed copy?
Yeah, look, I probably know QAnon supporters are going to buy it now, but look, I've got to say this stuff, you know. QAnon started out with maybe some valid information, but it's gone way off, and I think the Russians are involved in it. You just go, well, the book again is White House Reds, Communist, Socialist, and Security Risks Running for U.S. President 2020. Now, you can get it on Amazon, but you'll wait a month. So go to my website, trevorlouden.com. You can order it there. I've got a couple of icons there. You can just go and order it there, and you can get a signed copy, and you'll get it in 3 or 4 days.
There you go.
So and that's the best way. TrevorLouden.com. Louden is L-O-U-D-O-N. White House Reds, Communist, Socialist, and Security Risks running for U.S. President 2020.
Now, was that ebook and audiobook or just print? Fine.
Well, no audio, but ebook and hard copy.
All right, great.
So you can't get an ebook signed by me, unfortunately, but you can get a hard copy.
That's right.
And it will be signed, and you can personalize the message you would like it signed to, so you can also buy it for others and get the message personalized to your aunt, to your cousin, to your friend, or your crazy liberal uncle, whatever you want to
do. There you go. Folks, Christmas is just around the corner. Trevor, I want to thank you for taking the time and making yourself available. I really appreciate these conversations. And if you want to hold on real quick, as we cut to a break, we'll do a little sidebar. Folks, we will be right back after this. Thank you so much. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. Okay, so folks, as I have said, and I want to reemphasize that because I probably haven't said it in a long time. If we're not using the Constitution as our weapon and as our defense, we are going to lose every battle. As I've tried to not necessarily inject, but to try to, you know, talk to Trevor regarding about how we could use the Constitution, even in a foreign diplomacy type of situation, by offering statehood and bringing these satellite states under China into the consideration of exactly what I'm saying, is put them on the pathway to citizen, or actually statehood, and making those people citizens. It's not going to happen overnight, and it's not going to happen in 5-10 years. It's going to probably take, I'm going to guess, maybe 40 years for them to effectively change both their culture, their financing, their laws, and everything else to where they can truly function as a full-fledged state. Understand, this is not like turning the Oklahoma Territory into a state, but look at how long it took Oklahoma to become a state. The Oklahoma Territory opened up around the time of Andrew Jackson, and it did not close, or it did not become a state, until past 1900. So Oklahoma was languishing for statehood for a very long time. And these other states, Hong Kong, Taiwan, it is going to take them equally as long. I just want you to understand, we do have everything we need within the Constitution. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I'm trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution.